Later, Jesus sat on the Mount of Olives. His disciples came to him privately and said, "Tell us, when will all this happen? What sign will signal your return and the end of the world?" And the end of the world, okay? Jesus told them, "Don't let anyone mislead you, for many will come in my name, claiming, 'I am the Messiah.' They will deceive many, and you will hear of wars and threats of wars, but don't panic. Yes, these things must take place, but the end won't follow immediately. Nation will go to war against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in many parts of the world. But all this is only the first of the birth pains, with more to come. Then you will be arrested, persecuted, and killed. You will be hated all over the world because you are my followers. And many will turn away from me and betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and will deceive many people. Sin will be rampant everywhere, and the love of many will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. And the good news about the kingdom will be preached throughout the whole world, so that all nations will hear it, and then the end will come." Amen. The last times. And I don't know if you guys have heard messages about this, or if you've read scriptures about the last times. It's all over the Bible, by the way. It's in the Old Testament and the New Testament, where in the book of Daniel. Did anybody read Daniel chapter 4? I sent that on the email. Oh man, just one person? Jeez. All right, well anyway, book of Daniel is very interesting. The first six chapters is about Daniel's life in the, you know, Old Testament times in Babylonia. Babylonia? I think so. It was a Persian empire. I think it switches in between, so I think he was in both empires. But anyway, but then the remaining six chapters, 7 through 12, it talks about the end times, like how at the end of the world, these things are going to happen. And then you guys all know about Book of Revelation, right? That's the book I used to always be scared of when I was younger, because it's just, whoa, I'm afraid of, like, you know, these people getting killed and all these punishments coming upon them. You know, call this, talks about God that comes to judge, you know, Jesus, the lovey-dovey person that we always thought he was, you know, he comes and judges, he comes and kills people, you know, and yeah, and then there's other books in the Old Testament. Jesus talks about it. This is the chapter where Jesus talks about the end times, the coming end times. So, all right, before I go running. You guys want to make sure you get your Bibles ready, because I'm going to go through some verses, and we probably don't have enough time to read through all of it, so I'm just going to give you the verse, and I'll just read it once, and if you guys want to go back to it, you may want to open to it or write it down or something. Okay? And at the end of the message, if you want my sermon notes, I'd be happy to give it to you, supply it to you, so let me know if you find some of these verses interesting. All right, and before I talk about the end times, I want to make sure you guys understand, end times is something we really got to study. It's not something I could really share in one message, okay? And before I talk about any other details, if you look at Matthew 24:36, it says, "However, no one knows the day or hour when these things will happen, not even the angels in heaven or the Son himself, only the Father knows." So there's no one that could say, this is exactly when the world is going to end. But the Christian belief is, as God, Jesus, they all talk about, the prophets, they all talk about, there is an end to the world. I don't know if you've ever thought about that. There is an end to the world. There is a time when God created all things, and then Jesus came, and then there's the end of the world. We are living in the days where we're waiting for the end of the world. Okay? And when I went to IHOP, you guys remember when I went to this retreat center, prayer conference, whatever you want to call it, there, the founder there, he made this bold statement. You know, he does believe that there's no one that could dictate when Jesus is going to come. But he believes that with all the signs of the end times, which God tells us even from our passage today, he thinks Jesus is going to come in maybe in a few decades. I mean, he, you know, of course, he can't dictate exactly pinpoint where. But with all the signs of the end time, he says, you know, maybe 20, 30, 40, 50 years. And, you know, I would surmise that he also meant 60, 70, 80, 90 years. He actually says in his, he actually said in his message that, you know, I think some of us that are in our 20s may be able to see this happen. And then he also says two-year-olds right now, our children, probably going to see what would happen at the end of the world. And I can't commit to that because I still haven't, I mean, he probably just experienced it from like his conviction with God and whatnot. I don't have that yet, but I agree with most of it. I think many of us will see when Jesus comes back. All right. So I want to, hey Yuri, are you at the computer? I want to show you this video. Have you guys ever seen the movie Death Race? Death Race? Jason Statham is on. You saw it? Okay. You saw it too? I'm only going to show the beginning of it because when I first saw it, I was like, wow, this is so cool. I'm just going to show you the beginning of it. So whenever you're ready, make sure the sound is on. I don't know if you could tell. But take a look at the beginning, because I thought it was very interesting. I thought the beginning was so cool. I was like watching it, I was like, wow, you know, isn't that so possible? It says by 2012 the economy, US economy crashes, and I don't know, I was just looking at it, I'm like, isn't that so possible, you know, with their economy situation right now? You guys agree? I mean, I don't know, I was like, that's so possible. And then the private corporations, they took over the jail, the, what do you call it, the prison systems, and then they have like death fights, and they would you know, let people see it in pay-per-view. You know, and I guess this is something that could happen when, I guess, the economy collapses. But I think we kind of see it now, right? I mean, I think many of us even experience the economic hardship. I want to, I didn't really write this in my notes, but I want to look at Revelation chapter 6. Because this is something very interesting that I really want to bring out. Revelation 6, it talks about, this is what happens when the end time comes. And I can't wait to see parts of it in our current day. I'm just going to read just a couple of verses from verse chapter 6, but I think you guys should read the rest of it yourself. So I'm going to read from verse 1. I watched as the Lamb opened the first of the seven seals. Basically, the seals are like the punishment that comes out, or the things that happen in this earth that we see. Then I heard one of the four living creatures say in a voice like thunder, "Come." I looked, and there before me was a white horse. Its rider held a bow, and he was given a crown, and he rode out as a conqueror bent on conquest. So there's going to be some conqueror. There's going to be some conquest. There's going to be some land taking over, things like that. When the Lamb opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature say, "Come." Then another horse came out, a fiery red one. Its rider was given power to take peace from the earth and to make men slay each other. To him was given a large sword. So there's going to be wars. People being slaughtered and killed. When the Lamb opened the third seal, this is what I'm going to focus on, I heard the third living creature say, "Come." I looked, and there before me was a black horse. Guess what this black horse does? Its rider was holding a pair of scales in his hand. Then I heard what sounded like a voice among the four living creatures saying, "A quart of wheat for a day's wages, 3 quarts of barley for day's wages, and do not damage the oil and the wine. That's the economic burst. It talks about it right here in Revelation. You know, people thought, you know, things are going to be okay, and then there's economic hardship. And this is like one of the signs of the end times. All right, and then there's more. The 4th, 5th. You guys read it on your own. I think it's very interesting for us to study the end times, and you know, this being my last message, I wanted to make sure I get to share it with you guys, because I think it's very important for us to realize that we are at the end times, and that means we really gotta pay attention, and we gotta seek God, because it's harder for us to seek God nowadays. We'll get into that, but let me go through the scriptures. Let me go through the scriptures that we read. Okay, they're just going through the verses. From verse 3, it goes, later Jesus sat down, the disciples asked him, when will all this happen? What sign will signal your return and the end of the world? Verse 4, Jesus told them, don't let anyone mislead you. He's talking about there's going to be a lot of false things going on. Okay, and you could think about like all the media in this world. You could think about all the things that influence you. And right now in schools, I mean, just looking at college from my years, like I guess 7 years ago when I graduated, and now it's so much more work. I mean, that's what I kind of sense. Okay, I could be wrong, totally wrong. But I think the world is going toward a place. Hey, Yuri, can you come out? I'd like to see you. You know, I think the world is going toward, like, you know, we got to do this, we got to do that, and then life becomes more busier and busier, and then there's all these things that says, you know, you got to focus on this, you got to focus on this particular thing. All these things kind of misguiding us to miss the whole big picture. So God is saying, you know, this is the most important thing, the end times. All right? To come to that, you come to know me, and that you follow me, that you love me. Okay? So it's talking about, don't let anyone mislead you. There's going to be many things that will mislead us. For many will come in my name, claiming I am the Messiah. There's going to be false prophets. There's going to be people who say, I am the right, I am the one to follow. You guys follow me. All right? Follow me. All right? So there's going to be a lot of false prophets, false teachers, people who say we need to live a certain way and we could go to heaven this way. All right, and then verse 6, then you will hear of wars and threats of wars, but don't panic. So there will be wars. There will be people getting killed. I guess that will come a little later on. Yes, these things must take place, but the end won't follow immediately. Nation will go to war against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes. Famines, people will be hungry. There will not be enough food. There will be earthquakes in many parts of the world. But this is only first of the birth pains, with more to come. Then the believers will be arrested, persecuted, killed. You will be hated all over the world because you are my followers. I'll explain why in a bit. Okay? And many will turn away from me and betray and hate each other. This is talking about the Christians. The believers, many believers will now turn away from God because now they no longer see the need for God. And betray and hate each other. They will join the rest of the gang. And many false prophets will appear and will deceive many people. Again, many false, a lot of wrong things. And false prophets, I will go into that in detail. We got to be careful. False prophets, there's going to be a lot of deceptions going on. Sin will be rampant everywhere. Sin will increase, right? And love of many will grow cold. I think, you know, we could see part of that, right? Like, you know, I always talk about the community. Back in like 100 years ago, there was community. Nowadays, we're living in an individualistic society where we have so many things to do on our own that we have no time to love other people. So I think that's what it's talking about here. And the love of many will grow cold. We don't have time for anyone. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. Those who trust in God, love God to the end, will be saved. But it's going to be hard. We'll get into that. And the good news about the kingdom will be preached throughout the whole world. Right now, even as we speak, there's missionaries going all over the world to let people know about Jesus. So that all nations will hear about him. And then the end will come. Now I want to bring up the first point, which is, I think in the end, people will have a hard time finding God. And I just want you to recall back to the message I gave several weeks ago called The Unknown God. We're at this age where it's harder and harder to find God. though the Bible says he is near, he is there, you know, he is near, we just need to reach out and believe, I think it's harder to find God. I think it's because we're getting closer to the end times. You know, it seems like with the modern technologies, we have the internet, we could go, you know, find about anything, right? With our ability to gather data, gather information, it seems like we would be able to prove God, right? So somehow say, yeah, God is really there. It seems like we're, you know, with all this data, we're unable to say anything about God. You know, this is what I've been talking about for a while. And it seems like, you know, as we try to gather more data, it's like there's no way we could really prove God. So then, you know, God must not really exist. But, you know, with all this knowledge gathering, instead of being able to say there really is a God, I think what has happened is we begin to feel like, you know what, we have so much knowledge now, I think we could do it on our own. Hey, you know what? I think we can do it on our own. And if you guys remember the Tower of Babel, I think that's what really happened, right? But it seems like that's what's happening. We're able to gather so much data all at once. I mean, how many of you Google? I mean, right? You could just type anything, you'll find everything. I even Googled this prophecy thing that we're going to talk about in a bit, one of the big sheets that you have. All right, second. With all this modern technology, we think things would be better, but our lives are so busy now that we become cold to others. Again, verse 12. Harder time finding God. We have not enough time for others. So then, how are we going to find time for God? We have so many things we got to do. Do. I think that's the key word. We have so many things we have to do. I mean, in our schools, in our workplaces. You know, many people work long hours. So with all those things to do, how are we going to find God? So I think near the end times, which is the age that we live in now, I think it's going to be harder to find God. And, you know, I think it's a progression. Because in the end, I'm going to read some verses in Revelation. It says, people will come to know about God, you know, with all these, like, danger, all these, like, plagues and things happening to them. They're like, yeah, there is a God, but they cannot come to God anymore. So now, when we're at the end time, when they're receiving all these plagues and being judged for their sins, you know, they want to repent and come to God, but they can't find God. But, you know, I think, you know, let's say, you know, starting from creation, it's easier for us to connect with God, right? But then as we go closer to the end times, it's harder for us to get close to God. But right now, there's still a chance. And let me just read a couple of verses. You guys can look at it. Revelation chapter 16, verses 8 through 11. It says, the fourth angel poured out his bowl on the sun. Basically, here's another plague, the fourth one. The sun was given power to scorch people with fire, so people would die by the heat of the sun. They were seared by the intense heat, and they cursed the name of God, who had control over all these plagues. But the next words are, but they refused to repent and glorify him. They're just unable to. They realize there's a God. They just can't do anything anymore. Right now, they're at a point where, oh, I'm just angry. You know, what's wrong with this God? The fifth angel, verse 10, fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne on the beast, and his kingdom was plunged into darkness. Men gnawed their tongues in agony. They're in pain. Oh, and cursed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores. The next line says, but they refused to repent of what they had done. So I think as we draw closer to the end times, I think we find it harder to find God. But I'm trying to tell you that there is a chance now. And this is time we need to come to know God. All right, I also want to refer to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 9 through 12. In the end times, God allows people to believe in the lies of Satan. Because at the end times, Satan's going to try to, you know, get people to believe, yeah, you know what, God's not real, I'm real. Hey, I could take care of you, and I want you to follow me. That's what Satan will do. I think we'll actually touch that later on. If not, I could explain to you later on offside. But here's what it says, chapter 2, verse 9 through 12, 2 Thessalonians. The coming of the lawless one, he is talking about the end time, there is this one central being that represents Satan. Okay, another long story. The coming of the lawless one will be in accordance with the work of Satan, displayed in all kinds of counterfeit miracles, signs, and wonders. And in every sort of evil that deceives those who are perishing. They perish because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. So people would not believe. And as the end time comes closer and closer, it becomes harder to believe. Verse 11, for this reason, God sends them a powerful delusion so that they will believe the lie, and so that all will be condemned who have not believed the truth, but have delighted in wickedness. So, you know, I think when the end comes, which, you know, if you believe in what that, you know, if you, you know, I still can't say whether it be, you know, 2 decades from now, 3 decades from now, if it will be past our lifetime, maybe in our children's generation. But in the end times, there will be no more accepting Jesus. And we're at the end times now, where it's really hard. Right now, you guys know that I think I've said it many times, the church population is now like 4% of the world. All right, you know, people nominally put on their, you know, surveys and stuff, I am a Christian, but then that's like 80% of U.S. But then when it comes to church attendance, people who really come, you guys are really the outcasts. You guys are like the crazy ones who come, because right now I think the percentage was 4% and shrinking. All right, so I think, you know, this is talking about the end times where people refuse to believe in God. They kind of turn away from God, say, you know, I don't need God. Okay, and I think, you know, our knowledge also adds to it. We think we could do better, and then, you know, we start coming up with, you know, mindset or, you know, come up with some kind of, like, proof or something that says, you know, maybe God doesn't really exist. Maybe I could do it on my own. So, remember, it's the end times. All right, I want to ask you a question. What do you think about when you hear the word prostitute? Prostitute. Yeah, I agree with you, John. All right, prostitute. Basically, the scripture talks about prostitute as adulterous person. So, generally, a wife, one who is engaged to someone or married to someone, but then goes out, wants to fill their other desires, I guess. Now, that's what the Bible talks about. So, biblically, it talks about the Israelites. You know, God chose the Israelites to represent him, right? And then, but the Israelites, they're supposed to love God. Remember what I read in the beginning, Deuteronomy 30? They're supposed to love God. Love him with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. But then, they don't do that. They say, hey, you know, we got the land of Canaan. We got the land of milk and honey. We got all these crops. We don't need God. We just need a king. They start talking like that. So then, the prophets, they come to tell the Israelites, you guys are prostitutes. You guys are adulterous people. That's what it talks about. So, now in one of the prophets, his name is Hosea. It's in your scriptures. It's one of the books in the Bible. It starts out, the word of the Lord comes to Hosea. Okay. And guess what he says to do? Go find yourself an adulterous woman. Marry that person. Because, you know, this person will leave you and, you know, go after other men. But marry that person anyway as a symbol to show the Israelites that you guys are just like this woman who goes out seeking other men, other desires, other pleasures, where your heart should have been to me. You and I, we were supposed to be married. That's what God and Israelites, God and the church, Jesus and the church, that's the whole picture that the Bible gives. Right? We're supposed to be engaged, we're married. There's going to be the future marriage of the Lamb, but so between Jesus and the church, we're supposed to be engaged, we're supposed to love him. Right? But we become adulterous. I mean, I'm no different. You know, we all just have our own desires. We all need to repent. Yes, we all need to come to God. Book of Revelation talks about this prostitute that is coming. And it talks about... where is it? Did I not put it down? All right, I guess I didn't get it down. But there, it comes about... It talks. I think it's in Revelation chapter 17. It talks about the great prostitute. It's not just like one prostitute. It's a great prostitute. And basically, prostitute, who would it be talking about? Think about it. Who would it be talking about? Back in the Old Testament, it talked about the Israelites, right? In the New Testament, who's the chosen people? Come on, who's the chosen people? We talked about this. In the New Testament, who's the chosen people? Old Testament is the Israelites. New Testament is the church, right? So when they talk about the great prostitute, it's talking about some false religion that's going on. And then people will come to accept this false religion. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, many people will start coming to accept this false religion. And this Mike Bickle guy, when I went there, he started talking like this, and I'm going to give you a different opinion. He says, the false religion that's spoken about in the book of Revelation is going to be a religion of tolerance. Think about it. In our churches, we accept homosexuality. I mean, it's all over the country, all over the news, right? We accept homosexuality. Let's see. We also accept, I don't know, gay marriages. We have a lot of, you know, no more absolutes anymore. Like, you know, you shouldn't have sex before marriage. You know, nowadays it's just like, all right, you're welcome to do all those things. God still loves you. It's okay. And I think, you know, that's what he was trying to get at. Religion of tolerance. And everyone's going to accept this religion because it's tolerant. Hey, I could do that and I could be, you know, I could be accepted by God. I mean, yes, we could be accepted by God, you know, as long as we repent. But, you know, it seems like that's the church's stance in many things. Right? The present-day church. There are no more absolutes. Everything is relative. I feel this way, God better accept it this way. And then I think this false religion may say, yes, it's okay. And then everyone's going to accept it every way. You know, I will show you the pathway to God. You don't need to go through Jesus. Hey, I got another way for you. And this is what he was talking about. It's a religion of tolerance. And everyone in this world is going to accept this religion. And this is where the false prophet comes out. Not false prophet. This is the prostitute. This is the picture of the prostitute that he was talking about. I think it makes sense, doesn't it? I mean, you know, they all start believing in this thing. And then in the end, they will be in for a shock because Jesus will judge them. Because, you know, by being deceived this way, they have just joined Satan's army. In the end, there's a big battle between Jesus and Satan. And, you know, we all know Satan himself and everyone else that believes him will be in eternal torture. And I'm trying to be careful to not use the word hell because, you know, I don't think the word hell was ever really used in the scriptures. Here's what it says in Revelation 20, verses 10 through 15. And the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of burning sulfur. That's the word that's used, lake of burning sulfur, where the beast and the false prophet had been thrown. They will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. Earth and sky fled from his presence, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what had been done, as recorded in the books. The sea gave up the dead that were in it. The death and the Hades gave up the dead that were in them. Each person was judged according to what he had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. You know, so this Mike Bickle, he wasn't really talking about church. He was saying there will be some false religion that will appear in the future, right? But I think, just my perception, my opinion, Sang's opinion here, is I think it's going to be many of our churches. And this is where I want you to be careful. Because when, in Revelation, when it talks about prostitute, you know, I think it talks about churches, people who used to believe. Because if you look at Book of Revelation, chapter 2 through 3, there are 7 representative churches. And then Jesus has a problem with all of them. You know, like, for example, the first one, Church of Ephesus, says, you know, you have done well, you know, keeping up and, you know, doing all these things. You know, you've persevered, you've resisted temptations, great. But your love for me has died. Repent and come to me. So I think, in the end, I think many of the churches, you know, if they don't hold on to the scriptures, if they don't hear the voice of God, if they are not the ones that are praying and talking from the Bible, from what is written in the Bible, I think they may become this prostitute that may go against Jesus in the end. And the reason why I say it is also the same. In the Old Testament, the Jewish people were the Israelites. You guys know that. Jewish people killed Jesus. Right? You know, many churches, we talk about peace, you know, everything's going to be okay, just trust in God. It's true, I mean, we should trust in God and God could take care of all our needs, right? But scripture, shoot, I guess I don't have it written down again, talks about, like there's several books, the book of Jeremiah, book of Ezekiel, it says peace, when there is no peace, these false prophets, I'm going to, you know, God's going to denounce them. Because there's many prophets, right, back in the Old Testament, and many of them would say, peace, you know, God is with us, and we're all okay, God is with us. And then there were only those, like, few prophets that would come up and challenge them. No, there is no peace. We need to repent and turn to God. And then they would be despised. This prophet, you know, kicked them out, but those are the prophets that are written in the Bible. Those are the people that have the books in the Bible that says, there is no peace. So, what do you think about that? We may take that some parts of the Bible, we may just take some parts of the Bible and say, yeah, you know, in the New Testament, God is love. I want to accept that. But in the Old Testament, you know, God of judgment? I don't know if I believe in that. You know, I think we need to really understand the whole Bible, whole picture of the Bible. What is God trying to say? God who curses, you know, God who avenges? I don't know. I kind of like the God who protects me, God who gives me peace, right? Again, it goes back to no absolutes. Right? Everything is relative to how we think. Right? Then, you know, I think Mike Bickle's right also then, you know. There's no more absolute. We just kind of take God as we want to make him. I want you to know there's going to be a judgment. There's going to be a judgment. Basically, two people is going to be divided. You know, if you look at Matthew 25, it talks about the sheep and the goats. It's going to be divided. The people who stand for Jesus, who love Jesus, people who don't. And many will be people who don't. We've got to be careful to not fall into that category. All right, I know some of you might be asking, hey, so the Bible has all these prophecies written, right? Like, you know, there's going to be like some evil ruler. You know, his name is the Beast, right? And there's going to be like some false prophet. There's going to be all these things. We know exactly what's going to happen. Why don't we just stop it? If we see these signs happening, we'll just stop it. Does that really happen? You know, for example, Antichrist will come, so let's stop. Let's try to stop all world power. Let's try to make all world peace, you know, and there will be no super world power. But you know what I think? I think there's going to be some kind of world peace, fake world peace. What that means is, you know, somebody's going to try to come build a religion. Oh, come on, we're all okay. Come on, we're all in this together, brothers and sisters, whatever. And then there will be like some false religion, and then many will accept that, and then those that accepted this false religion will come to serve this beast. It's all in scriptures. I mean, we'll talk on the side afterwards. And the reason why we can't, why my view is that we can't stop these things, even though we know what's going to happen in the future, is because back in the days, they prophesied about Jesus. You guys know that? In the Old Testament, when the canon was closed for the Old Testament back in like 250 BC, what's going on? Back in like 250 BC, and then Jesus comes in like 4 BC, right? And then, you know, they knew, the Jewish people knew about all the prophecies of Jesus in the future. But then they didn't stop it. I mean, for some reason, they actually went in with the prophecies and they actually did all the things that they were not supposed to do. I mean, go look at the sheet, the big sheet that you guys have. Right, I didn't want to take my time going through this. That's why I just printed it out for you guys. But all this is like all in the Old Testament, right? The Old Testament talked about Jesus, the coming of Jesus. The Jewish people knew what's going to happen. They knew about this Messiah. They knew the Old Testament very well. But somehow, there was a person who sold Jesus for 30 silver coins. You know, they betrayed, let's see, what else? I mean, they did all these things in the old. They had all these things in the Old Testament that the Savior is going to die on a cross. He's going to be rejected by men. But for some reason, they just couldn't. I don't know when that time came of Jesus. They just couldn't do much about it. Isn't that funny? I think it's kind of like what's going to happen in the end times. You know, we could try to stop the prophecies, you know, from happening by, you know, preventing all these things written in the Bible. But it just doesn't happen that way. All right? I think, so we got to be careful as Christians. We might be, you know, people who go oppose Jesus. We might be the people whose hearts turn cold and turn away from God. I no different. Okay? How are Christians nowadays? I think, you know, we got to be careful about churches. You know, these churches are saying, we know how to worship. We have these traditions of old, and this is how we will worship God. Oh, that's, again, a flaw. You know, because then what we're saying is, you know, God can never change us. We're set, and this is what we must do, and then we will gain salvation. And then there's also the modernized worship where, you know, that's, again, you know, it's tricky, you know, because you don't know where it's really leading to. But there's these traditions, there's a new wave. You know, what's the right way to salvation? You know, what's the right way to worship God? I had to tell you of a story of my pastor in Virginia. I love this pastor. I love him to death. He's a great pastor. When I lived in Virginia, he was my pastor. I actually went to IHOP with him, the International House of Prayer with him. Such an awesome guy. But when I went to that church, there was great turmoil in the church. There was about maybe 60 people in this church. And wow, I don't know what's up with this church. I love the pastor. Pastor gives great messages. But then the elders are trying to kick him out. And being a Presbyterian church, it's elders rule. Elders could kick out, replace pastors. Okay. I didn't understand what was going on when I first went in. And I'm telling you, he's a great pastor. I still love him. You know, he's still one of my most respected pastors. And the whole point of this elders, the church was maybe about 20 people before this pastor came. And when this pastor came, he started, you know, wanting change, you know, because the church was so traditional. It was like, we just got to come here and then sing a few songs and then maybe hear, like, read the Bible and then go home. That is our service for the week. That's how they did it. And there were like 20 people and they were all elders. They all had titles. They, you know, they all ruled this church. And then this pastor comes and says, you know, you got to repent. You got to turn. You know, this is what the Bible says. You got to change. Your heart needs to be molded to what God wants. He did all these things. And then, you know, people start coming in. You know, they want to hear the word of God. Great. But then these elders, we want this guy out. I like the way we've been doing things. And I actually went to legal courts with the pastor because, you know, though he could speak English, I guess I was better in the legalistic views and, I don't know, the legal world, and I was able to speak English. So I actually went with him to, you know, court, not to courts, but to talk with lawyers and go through all these legalistic battles. But basically, in the end, this pastor, he has the heart for God. He's always praying. He spends so much time in prayer, seeking the voice of God. But the elders, they didn't want him. They wanted somebody where everything was common, calm, fine, you know, no changes in my life. Hey, I'm fine just the way I am. I just got to worship God just as we do it traditionally. So I think it's scary. We got to be careful where our churches are, you know, what our churches are doing. I think we also got to be careful, you know, even when you listen to me talk, giving this message, you guys got to check in scriptures that I am giving you what's in scriptures. This means you guys have to go study the word on your own. This is the end time. And this is where a lot of deception could come in. You know, I know, like, you know, there's modern ways of giving preaching, sermons, things like that. I want you to be careful with those things. Like, you know, I'm attending a seminary now. They have different ways of giving sermons. And, you know, some pastors, they actually take pastorhood as a job. This is my career, and this is my position. And so I, you know, this is my job. No love for the people, no love for God. And be careful when you hear the messages to verify that the word that is being preached to you is true. And if it is true, submit to it. Okay, if I say God is love, you guys must love others. You know, go check it out in the Bible. Make sure it's true. Go love others. All right, I got to show you. If you look at Acts chapter 17, which of course I guess I'm just all over the place here. Acts 17, verse 11. This is what it says. Now the Bereans is a nationality, right? Bereans were of noble character, were of more noble character than the Thessalonians, for they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures. Here's the key word: examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. This is Acts 17, verse 11. We have to live this way. This is the end times. You cannot just come to service and say, well, you know, I sat in the service today, so therefore, you know, I must love God, and, you know, God will, you know, take me up. This is the world's deception. The world, you know, the thing is, especially when we live a week, full week of, like, all these, like, influences, like school, friends, teachers, whatever, and then we come to church for 2 hours, and we hear a message, and we think this is the truth, without really confirming, you know, without really knowing whether it is true or not, then how are we going to really change to love God? So this is the message I want to leave you with before, you know, I guess I leave this position. You guys have to study the scriptures on your own. This is very important. You can't just rely on your pastor and say, well, the pastor gives me a great message and, you know, I want to live according to whatever the pastor says. Be careful, okay? Especially, you know, a few years from now, as we get closer to the end times, you're going to have more false teachers. They're going to call themselves pastors. They're going to have a title and say, you know, I have graduated from XYZ seminary, and therefore, you know, I have the word of God. Be careful. You got to all of you have to hear the voice of God. How do you do it? You read the scriptures and you pray. This links to the last week's message too. You guys have to pray. Build a firm relationship with God. That's how you grow. That's how you come to know the heart of God. So think about some churches you've been to. All right. Well, here it is. In Revelation chapter 17, 5, it says, "This title was written on her forehead, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of prostitutes and of the abominations of the earth." The mother of prostitutes. Can this be the conglomeration of churches? You know, the churches that you guys attend. And my question to you is, even if in your churches, you know, some maybe wrong messages are given, will you be able to discern and tell whether it's right or wrong? You know, we need to study the scriptures on our own. We need to pray, hear the voice of God, and be led by the voice of God. And I you know, otherwise, we're going to be tricked. We're going to be deceived in the end times. Here it is. In the book of Ezekiel, chapter 13, verse 9, it says, "I will raise," this is God talking, right? "I will raise my fist against all the prophets who see false visions and make lying predictions." You know, God's prophets are supposed to talk about God, right? Talk about the truth that God is going to bring, right? It says, "I will raise my fist against all the prophets who see false visions and make lying predictions, and they will be banished from the community of Israel. I will blot their names from Israel's record books, and they will never again set foot in their own land. Then you will know that I am the sovereign Lord. This will happen because these evil prophets deceive my people by saying, all is peaceful, when there is no peace at all." It's as if the people have built a flimsy wall and these prophets are trying to reinforce it by covering it with whitewash. You know, you're going to hear, it's okay. Things are going to be okay. You know, life is okay. You know, don't worry about it. Just live your life to the fullest. It's okay. It's not okay. And it's not okay that our brothers and sisters will not even have a chance to know God because we don't even talk about it. We don't even live life representing Jesus. So it's not okay. The Bible says it's not okay. Jesus, when he came down to earth, he did not say, "I came to bring peace." Did you know that? He says, I came to bring division between mothers and daughters, fathers and sons. I'm like reading, I'm like, what the heck is Jesus saying here? He's talking about the end times. Where our parents, they may believe in this traditional, you know, they've been going to church all their life. They believe in, the traditional way of worship, you know, which is fine. You know, by the way, traditional worship is great, you know. But I think it becomes crazy when that tradition becomes the God. And no longer do people hear the voice of God. It's just, you know, go to church, do the religious thing, and then I'm a Christian. That's not how it works. So it's not okay. When people say peace, peace, it's not true. Jesus is coming soon. He's going to judge the world. And we live in the end times. We need to be awake. We need to be discerning. All right, I want to go back through the scriptures that we read today. Okay, again, back to, what was the scriptures? Matthew 24, right? I want to read from verse 4. Jesus told them, "Don't let anyone mislead you." Okay, so don't let anyone mislead you. Verify everything you hear. That it is in scriptures. I'm not telling you to all go to seminary, but I want you to start reading the Word of God and making sense of it on your own. You know, connect the puzzles together. I don't care if you believe in Jesus or not right now, okay? You guys should read the scriptures. And when you start, you know, when you start seeing the end of time that I'm telling you about, where there's going to be famine, economic breakdown, there's going to be people dying, plagues, pestilence. When you start seeing these things, you might want to rethink, maybe God is real. Maybe I need to turn to Him. Because when time comes, it will be too late. And, you know, we will not be able to come to know God anymore. Verse 5, it says, "For many will come in my name, claiming I am the Messiah. They will deceive many." These are the many pastors that may come in the future. We have to stay awake. I know we're all busy with our work, with our school, things like that. But take time to really study the Word of God, just for your own edification. You have to. Because otherwise, you will easily be deceived. You know, I mean, these praise songs, you know, we sing these praise songs, and, you know, we get the feeling like, all right, you know, because I sing the right praise songs and we're singing to God, it's okay. But it may not, you know, you may not get the full picture, you know, like this pastor might be deceiving you, pulling you out. All right, so be discerning. You need to study the scriptures on your own. Also, look at verse 11. It says, many false prophets will appear and will deceive many people. It's repeated twice because this is very important. All right, verse 6 through 8. When you see these signs, even though it's hard to find God, even now I think it's hard to find God. When you start seeing these signs, when you guys are struggling financially, you might want to think, maybe Jesus is coming soon. Maybe it's something we need to bear through right now. So when you start seeing these signs, start seeking after God. And then go repent. Try to say, Lord, I don't want to live the life I've been living all my life. I want to turn to you. I want to believe in you. Verses 6 through 8. Verse 9. Then you will be arrested, persecuted, and killed. You will be hated all over the world because you are my followers. It's going to be tougher for Christians. Right before, at the beginning of this message, I talked about 4%, right? I think it's going to go down to like 2%, 1%. I don't know what the number is going to be like, okay? But people are not going to want to be Christians. You know why? Because Christians are going to be like this minority who are just considered cuckoo in this world. And what else? You guys, well, you know, in the end times, there's going to be this sign called the 666. I don't know if you guys heard of it. But it's right in, I think, in Revelation 14. I'm not sure which chapter right now. But we have to, everyone in this world will receive the sign that says 666. And basically, if you don't get the sign, you're not going to be able to buy food. You're not going to be able to buy or sell. You're going to probably have to dig up your own food, and you're going to be hungry. You're going to be like that, but you won't be able to feed your children. Actually, let's look it up. I just want to make sure that you guys see it. It's in the book of Revelation. If you guys have your Bible, open it with me. I want to make sure that you guys all see this for yourselves. Right, Revelation 13. Revelation 13. And I'm trying to figure out where we should start reading from. Revelation chapter 13. Alright, let's start from verse 15. Revelation 13, verse 15. He, this is the beast, this is the Satan human figure, right? He was given power to give breath to the image of the first beast so that it could speak and cause all who refuse to worship the image be killed. So basically, here's now forcing people to come to worship this beast. And everyone that falls into this false religion will worship this false beast. It'll only be one set of people who does not worship the beast, which is the believers of Jesus, who stand for Jesus. Verse 16, he also forced everyone, small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on his right hand or on his forehead. It even says it, right hand or forehead. We're going to get this mark. So that no one could buy or sell unless he had the mark, which is the name of the beast or the number of his name. This calls for wisdom. If anyone has insight, let him calculate the number of the beast, for it is man's number. His number is 666. It's right there. And basically, let's say you're a father. You don't receive this mark. Basically, you're going to be someone who stands for Jesus. You're going to be hungry, and your kids are going to be hungry. Your kids are going to be starving. This is what it talks about in verse 9, right? Then you will be arrested, persecuted, and killed. You will be hated all over the world because you are my followers. And guess what? Many Christians, many people who believe in Jesus, verse 10, and many will turn away from me and betray and hate each other. This is many Christians, many people who profess my name will turn away from me. Can it be any of us here? Turn away from me and betray and hate each other. They will no longer trust in God. Verse 10, many will turn away. Will you? Will you? So here I'm telling you, there's a need for discernment, okay? This is, if anything, you know, all throughout our fun experience together, you know, we had a good 3.5 months together, right? If you guys will just leave us one thing, you guys need to love God, and you guys need to study scriptures, so that way you know how to discern, because you won't be able to discern if you don't know the scriptures. We need to personally read scriptures and pray and develop a personal relationship with God. Today's churches are unreliable. Okay, I think you could see that in many ways. But if you go look at other churches, declining in population, and then the pastor is trying to please the people so that way people will stay, because people are leaving in hordes. right? So the pastors are trying to, we got to welcome them. How can we welcome them? So then they kind of tolerate the truth. It's no longer absolute. It's just like, well, if you're, gay, we should accept them as Christians, right? But then, that's okay. Gay marriage, yeah, that's okay. No more absolute, no more firm truths. And that's where the world is going right now. And you guys all see that. So study the scriptures on your own. Know it on your own. Does this mean that you don't need pastors? Does this mean you don't need a church? No. The church is really us gathering together, right? Remember, the church is not a building, okay? So we got to remember that we need to encourage each other. We need to build each other up. That's one. So does that mean we don't need pastors? No. They're the ones that who's supposed to guide you in your life. Okay, pastors are the ones that's supposed to guide you in your life. Like, while you're studying the scriptures, they could make it clearer for you, maybe translate it into how you should live your life to follow that. So you still need those things, but you got to know for sure that this is the word of God. You got to pray. This is how you develop a relationship with God. When I read Book of Daniel, I was so, why? Because Daniel prayed to God. Even where they weren't supposed to serve God. They had like the king, I think it was the King Nebuchadnezzar, who said, everyone must worship this idol that I set up whenever the trumpet blows, and the trumpet would blow every day. And then Daniel would be found not bowing down to the idol. And then he's thrown into the lion's den. You guys know that story. We gotta stand and pray, even to the end of time. This is going to be harder and harder. People are going to persecute us. You pray to God. You're an idiot. You're crazy. You're a nutcase. But he's real. And you got to live your life according to the scriptures. Humble yourself. Repent of your sins. Trust in God. All those things. Not just have the knowledge. It's, I think Satan has very good knowledge of the Bible too. But, for us, we got to live according to the way God wants us to live. Where we trust him and follow him. And you got to be part of a church. I'm talking about the capital C church. No longer just saying, here's, my church, and there's your church. All the churches are small. You know what I really think? I think, all the churches, they shouldn't be talking about how in my church, you got to grow membership, we got to bring people. Instead, we should be combining with other churches. I'm not talking about, combining names together, but really work together as a church, the big C church. I think the world is really lacking that. We got all these little churches all over the place. I mean, I think it's a sign of grace, because every church has its different flavor, that people might be able to relate to. But all the churches, they need to connect together, and this is something that's really lacking in our days. All right, I'm going to try to conclude. I'm sorry for taking so long, but this is just one message I really needed to pound on, because I want you guys to remember this as we go on our own ways. Satan, back in Genesis, Joseph was sold as a slave. And then Israelites, who's not supposed to go to Egypt, right? This is where they started. God came to Abraham and said, go to land of Canaan. From here, he's supposed to go here. Egypt was over here. And I think Satan was really happy when Joseph was sold to Egypt as slaves. But that wasn't the end of what God did, right? God raised up Joseph, and land of Egypt was blessed, and land of Israelites were blessed because he went there, right? They went to Egypt. Likewise, I think Satan had a big laugh when Jesus died on the cross. Satan's like, yes, Jesus is going to die. No more salvation. This guy's a hoax. This guy's done. I'm going to rule the world. I'm good. Guess what? Jesus rules again from the dead. And Satan's rule, it was just like, you guys ever saw the movie Passion? It's like, no, without words, But that's what it is. I think Satan thought he could win. I think Satan's going to do one more, the end times. Gather everyone together. So that way, when all of us gather together, we could rebel against God, and he's thinking we could win. He's causing all these deceptions in people, so that way they would join, that we would all join his army. But what do you think will happen at the end? God always succeeded, right? And Satan's not going to win. We need to trust in God all the way to the end. So let's not be different like Noah's times. When Noah said to people, come on, we got to come to God, they lived indifferently. They didn't care. They just went on eating and drinking as if nothing's going to happen. Then when Noah got in the ark, things happened. It actually comes in the book of Luke. It doesn't come in Genesis. This is what it says, Luke chapter 17, verse 26 to 31. Just as it was in the days of Noah, so also it will be in the days of the Son of Man. This is when Jesus returns. People were eating, drinking, marrying, and being given in marriage up to the day Noah entered the ark. Then the flood came and destroyed them all. It was the same in the days of Lot. People were eating and drinking, buying and selling, planting and building. But the day Lot left Sodom, fire and sulfur rained down from heaven and destroyed them all. It will be just like this on the day the Son of Man is revealed. We need to stay firm in our faith. All right, churches need to unite together instead of just building up our own shabby churches. All right, we got to stand for God. This is what we are called to do. Revelation 2:5, this really hit me because, you know, I think Jesus was pointing at me to the first church. You know, I know you've persevered. I know you've gone through much. I know you've withstood hardships. This is what it talks about in the church of Ephesus in Revelation 2. It says, Revelation 2:5, if you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. This is God talking to the church. If you do not repent, turn to me, I'm going to reject you too. You know, just like how he rejected the Israelites, he rejected the Jews. I'm going to reject you too. So you think you're part of the church? I need you to repent. I'm looking for your heart. So again, I want to reiterate, Christians are now 4% of the population. Many churches have closed down. And as with this church, you know, townspeople have been giving us a hard time with establishing this church. Like, we don't want another church. You know, you guys don't pay taxes. It's like all business to them. The world doesn't want churches. All right? And here, Luke chapter 12, verse 52 to 56. From now on, there will be 5 in 1 family divided against each other. This is when Jesus talks about, you know, I didn't come to bring peace. 3 against 2 and 2 against 3. They will be divided. The family will be divided. Father against son, son against father, mother against daughter, and daughter against mother. Mother-in-law against daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. He said to the crowd, when you see the cloud rising in the west, immediately you say it's going to rain, and it does. And when the south wind blows, you say it's going to be hot, and it is. Hypocrites! You know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and the sky. How is it that you don't know how to interpret the present time? So I think, you know, this is what's going to happen. You know, even in our families. You know, our parents might have gone to church all their lives. But then maybe their faith isn't, you know, toward Jesus. And it's scary to think about, isn't it? Because we love them. They, you know, they brought us to church. My mom brought me to church. So I think it's very important. We need to study the Word of God and cling to God, trust in God. So practical applications, all right? I'm going to end. All right? I'm really going to end in 2 minutes. God never asked us to force people, nor is he forceful. But I know sometimes, you know, we've seen people say, oh, you got to believe in Jesus now. Do you believe in Jesus? You know, I know we've seen that. I don't know about the approach there, but there is truly an urgency. There's truly an urgency. We need to come to know God, and people have to come to know God soon because the end of time is coming. And, you know, I said like maybe 50 years, 60 years, right? It could actually be 20 years. It could be 10 years. It could be next year. It could be, I don't know, sooner. Maybe you just don't know how to interpret all the times yet. Okay? So for those of you that says, I don't believe in Jesus yet, you know, it's my, I guess, my deepest desire, you know, before well, regardless of whether I step down or not, you know, my deepest desire as a lover of God, we need to repent, turn away from our sins. Instead of living the way we've been living all along, say, Lord, I want to live for you. Though I know some of you don't want to be forced, I just want you to accept one thing. Go study the Word of God on your own. You know, it's okay if you don't come to church or whatever, but go study the Word of God on your own so that way you know what the Bible says. At least you have the head knowledge. You don't have to accept it as truth yet. At least you have the head knowledge so that way you could when something happens. And for all of us, we should also follow suit. We should study the scriptures separately on our own. I know we're all busy. I know we all have busy schedules. Make some time. Okay, make some time. You gotta study the scriptures on your own. And you know, we have our Google groups. I don't know if Pastor John wants to continue to use our GPS for Jesus Ministries, the name. If he does, we'll build a different Google group. You know, you guys are always welcome to ask me questions. Talk to me about the Bible. You know, from your Bible reading, you don't understand something, I'd be happy to help you understand it. So write to me at any time. You know, you guys might be asking things like, when is Jesus coming back? How is he coming back? You know, what does scripture talk about in terms of getting married? You know, is it good to be married? You know, is, you know, blah, blah. Is it what the scripture say about studying, going to school? You know, the Bible talks about a lot of things. Okay, so study the scripture separately. Right? And I'm going to end with this. There's a great revival coming. If you guys have been following my Twitters, I talk about this revival that's coming. I don't know what it is. It just kind of came to me. You know, as I pray, I keep feeling there's a revival coming. The Bible talks about a revival. And, you know, my opinion, I think there's going to be one revival. I'm not talking about, like, in the church, like, you know, people come to know God. You know, that, like, those small, there are those small revivals. But I'm talking about a great revival where all world will have a chance to come to know God. Okay, like sweep through a whole nation. Like, you know, like there's, like, a surge of people coming to know God. And I think there's going to be just one more. And this is just my opinion, okay? It's not in scriptures, okay? So, you know, I could be talking heresy here. But just from my prayers, just from what I'm feeling, I think there's going to be one revival, last one, time to bring all our brothers and sisters in to come to know God. Because after this revival, I think the end time's going to come, and then people are going to not be able to believe in God. It's just my hunch. So, I mean, just, you know, that's what I've been Twittering about, if you've been following my Twitter. All right, let's pray. Can we all rise? I mean, I know, John, you have to go. So let's all rise, though. Let's all rise and just take a moment to pray. And I want to encourage you to dedicate some time. You know, if you guys, I don't know how you guys have been feeling for the past 3.5 months. It was a great time for me. And if you guys would leave with just one message. Go come to know God on your own. It's not something I could do. I cannot force you to do it. It's not like I come here and give you a message and you guys know about God all of a sudden. Commit to knowing God. You know, life of prayer, life of studying the scriptures. And it's okay if you don't believe in Jesus yet. But just at least get the head knowledge. You know, back in 10th grade, I actually remember writing this letter to the churches. And, you know, it just kind of hit me just a couple of weeks ago as I was reading the book of Daniel. There was a verse, chapter 7, verse 21. It says, this horn was waging war against this, against basically the, I don't remember the exact wording, but against the Christians. But the Christians were losing. I remember writing that message to the churches. And I think, you know, God was trying to show me something about the end times, even back when I was in like 10th or 11th grade. And this end time is coming. Jesus is coming back soon, and he will judge. And there will be a separation between those who stand for Jesus who don't. I don't know where you stand in your belief right now, but make a commitment to say, I stand for Jesus. I stand for Jesus. Me and my family, we will stand for Jesus. I don't know if I'm popping your bubble, but the world is going to come to an end. Okay? The world just doesn't go on. You know, there was a creation, and look, I know it's a lot of things. I know I'm talking about things that you've never thought of me talking about. It's all in scriptures, though. And I want you to just think about your life. Commit your life to Jesus. You know, if you're not sure, you know, commit to studying the Word of God on your own. I'll help you in any way I can. So take a moment to pray and I'll close in prayer.